We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If I talk too fast, you should listen faster. That's the problem. I try to do a show that I would find entertaining, and that means that I try to cover a lot and go fast. And I figure you may not get it all, but you get enough. That's my view.
Chip Simmons. I talk pretty fast.
You do too. I mean, most of the people that I interact with, they talk fast. Like Eric Gilmore. It's actually dangerous when Eric and I get on the radio together because we both talk fast. And we both try to cover a lot, you know, so anyway. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons is here with us in studio. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. How'd the beach show go?
Hey, it went very well. You tell me. You were out there complaining.
I told all your deputies thank you, as I do, and they're great, and they're, you know, sporting their shorts and looking good, and I felt bad for them. They have to wear their tack vests, but, you know, that is what it is.
Well, that's their job.
Yeah. I mean, it's hot and humid,
sure,
and
they're safe.
They're in the sun, and...
No, we had over the course of a couple of days here, hundreds of thousands of people going on to the beach, and except for some slow go with the traffic and parking issues, it went very well. We have an affidavit for one person on a fight. We had a report there was a stabbing. I guess some family member stabbed another person, but no one's given us the right information.
Okay.
Or what we think is the right information, so that's still under investigation. But by and large, with that larger crowd. Over really Wednesday, it started kicking off pretty well on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So four good days.
And you tow any cars, handful of cars?
We towed 28 cars.
Okay.
Which, again, sounds like a lot, but think about how many cars are going through there and how many people are just looking, searching for any place they can squeeze their car into to get, to get out down to the beach. It didn't seem like that many to me.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things.
Unless you're the one who got a car towed. And you
Yeah, well, then it's bad for you.
It's
a rough day. Yeah. Of course, it's also a rough day. I saw a Prius parked in the sand, and I'm like, good luck. I mean, they were up to the frame of the body in the sand, and I thought.
Prius and sand don't go together.
You can get into that space. Yeah. I'm not sure you're getting out of it. Let's see. We had a shooting overnight in Century. Is that right?
Yeah, I just got word. We had a guy reports that he woke up and someone was in his house, and that individual shot him twice. He was transported to the hospital. At this point, the injuries do not appear life-threatening. So we're looking into that. We get reports like this, and it's like, that doesn't sound random to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we are investigating it, and obviously we'll look at it is to see if the suspect is someone that knows the victim or if there's some sort of connection to that home.
I mean, there can be just random, inexplicable, horrible crimes. I mean, we had like the Billings crimes. We know there can be.
Well, even that wasn't random.
But even, you know, those are extraordinarily rare. The much more common is somebody knows somebody, you know.
It's an inside job at a business, right. Or someone has been buying and selling drugs. They happen to notice what's going on. They get desperate and they go back for something. I'm not saying that's what happened in this one. Why would an individual choose that particular house? And why, just take the opportunity to shoot a couple times unless you know something or, you know, like you said, there's the truly random acts of violence are extraordinarily rare.
The one of the other things that happened recently, we had somebody shot and killed. This was six days ago, over apparently an ongoing dispute about a motorcycle that was riding on Frank Reeder Road. What happened here?
Yeah, that was it. There was a 20-year-old that was riding a motorcycle in a neighborhood, and this has been riding the motorcycles in this particular neighborhood has caused disturbances in the past, like a week before.
Because they're loud, or
I don't know. I just don't. I think it's probably the way they're driving.
Okay.
And the thought there is that some residents don't think that they should be riding that way.
Okay.
So in this case,
I assume this is kind of a smaller road, maybe a country road, maybe a dirt road. I don't know. It's
Frank
something.
Frank Reeder roads are fairly.
Oh, it's Frank Reeder. Okay, yeah. I got you. Yeah. Right behind OLF 8. Okay, yeah. I got you.
So this 20-year-old was riding his motorcycle, and he noticed a guy that they had issues with in the past, filming him with his camera. So he goes back and picks up what is thought to be his stepfather. I'm still not certain of the connection there, but an older individual. And then they both got on motorcycles and went back down to talk to the guy that was videoing them. And at this point, you know, we talk a lot about reasonableness and whether you can defend yourself, and you certainly can defend yourself, but it has to be reasonable. So think about where they're at. They're in the middle of the road. The older gentleman, and I usually don't give the names of the victim,
sure,
but the older gentleman gets off a motorcycle and, according to witnesses, reaches out his hand to either shake the hand or not necessarily in an aggressive manner. And the person that was originally videoing refused that handshake. And then there became an altercation in which the shooter pulls out a gun.
This is the same person who was filming.
The same person was videoing.
Okay, got it.
So he fired several rounds at the homicide victim, to include, according to witnesses, shots while he was already down. And then he points again at the other, the 20-year-old, and says, "Do you want some of this?" And that sort of, I'm not an exact quote, but that's what he's saying. So what we do is we have to determine, is it self-defense? Is it something that a reasonable person would think is justified? And so what we have to do is we have to go by some of the location, obviously. We have to go by what took place beforehand. We have to go by the witness accounts that are not attached to one party or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, the deputies that were on scene and the state attorney's office determined that it's not reasonable in that situation to pull out a handgun and shoot and kill someone based upon the circumstances at the time.
Right.
So that's where we are. We ended up charging him with second-degree homicide. The state attorney's office, again, worked very well with us. We certainly appreciate that because this is kind of one of those close ones, and typically the tie will go to the person defending themselves, but this is not on their property. This was in the middle of the road, and from what we gather, according to witnesses, the use of deadly force was unprovoked.
This incident on Frank Reeder Road. So just a fact clarification. So the guy who was upset enough to be filming or recording them or the one person originally on a motorcycle, was not recording them on video when they returned? That he didn't keep rolling the video? Because I would think the kind of person who rolls a video, I would think he would have recorded the incident. But
yeah,
no?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any video.
Okay.
There wasn't videoing at the time of the incident.
Okay, that just seems weird to me, but okay. But also, I mean, videoing in public of somebody driving a vehicle is 100% legal. That alone is 100% legal. It's no reasonable expectation.
You can videotape other people that are in the roadway. That is correct. Does it aggravate people? We get calls all the time about people videoing. Protesters do it a lot. They obviously, the cops get videoed all the time.
Right.
People always, or I say always,
often.
Many times there are people that are videoing police officers doing their job, and they're starting to ask all these questions: "What's your name? What's your badge number?" and that sort of thing. And my point is, it's perfectly legal for people to do that, and
right.
It's legal for people, as you just mentioned, to videotape another. Now, whether they were going to complain later to law enforcement, I don't know that information, or maybe they're just trying to ignore each other. I really don't know.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, even if you're out in public doing it, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. You can be recorded, even your face, your license plate, all of that stuff is all just in public, you know. But I get people might be aggravated. That doesn't mean that, of course, they can take matters in their own hands.
And we get called all the time with people that are complaining because someone's videotaping them or their children.
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird? Probably.
It certainly can be, right.
It's certainly something that we would, you know, maybe want to look into. But quite honestly, if you're in the roadway or in a public place and you're videotaping something, and we come up there and say, "What are you doing?" Unless they're committing a crime or we have reasonable suspicion or probable cause, they have the right to stand there and not say a word.
Right. And that's why I wanted to clarify, because there's many weird elements of this case, and I can see why it was a challenge for you guys and the state attorneys to figure out. Last one was Savannah Hale, I think, was arrested. Do I have this story right? She's the one that called you guys?
Yeah, she called us for an unrelated matter. She's sitting in the car. Deputies get there, and they notice it smells pretty strong of alcohol coming from this car. She's in the driver's seat. She's in control of this car.
Okay.
So deputies say, "Hey, why don't you step out? I don't want you to drive away. You're not, you look like you may be impaired." And then it escalated to a point where she assaulted the deputy. She cut the deputy with, I guess she had a ring or some jewelry on her hand during a scuffle, and we ended up taking her to jail.
What was the original call about?
It said unrelated. I don't know exactly what it was about, but she had a concern enough to call the cops.
Didn't like what she was hearing from them, and so.
Well, I don't think she appreciated the fact that the deputy thought she was impaired behind the wheel of a car.
But they found alcohol in the car, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a couple of some cans. I'm not sure, but the Loco something.
Yeah.
I don't deal with that stuff.
Not a big consumer. Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right. Well, fair. I mean, yeah, you know, it's fine to call the police, but it's better to not call the police when you're also already engaging in something you shouldn't be doing. And then don't fight with them when they show up. Right. I mean, just general advice.
Don't fight us, bro.
I
That's it.
That's my forever drop for you. Still fight us, bro. Hey, last thing, and I won't ask you to get into it because, of course, the mayor's going to have a press conference this morning, you know, to talk about the resignation of Chief Eric Randall. You know, did he resign? Was he resigned? Was this a termination? You know, what all happened? But I did want to, you're former chief of police, and you know Kristen Brown, and you know Kevin Christman, and you know Eric Goss, and you know all of these people very well. So if there's anything about this that you wanted to comment, I did want to give you a chance to comment because, you know, you may have a thought. And if you have no thought at all, then we'll wrap up the interview.
Well, I think my thought right now would be to congratulate Kristen Brown. I've known Kristen for a long time. You know, worked with her quite a bit over there. And I had a conversation with her a couple of days ago and told her how proud I was and how supportive we were of her and the job. It's a difficult job. These are, again, I know I have been there. And I told her that whatever advice or help I can give her, well, I'm certainly available to it. You know, it's historic. She's the first female police chief, even though it's on an interim basis. She is in charge at the Pensacola Police Department. And again, so I congratulate her. I wish her well. I think that the police department's in good hands with her at the helm, even if it is for a couple of months. And again, I know Kevin Christman and Eric Goss, who is now the interim deputy.
Yeah, right. Because Kevin's out on medical leave, right?
Yeah, I've known them all for a long period of time. I think that the Pensacola Police Department has always been a quality operation, and I think they'll continue to be as long as they're running the agency.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing. You know, she's being the first female. We've got two local. I mean, like, you know, the chief of Milton, right? Chief Frank is a female, and chief of Pensacola, at least temporarily, is a female. You know, of course, Jenny Craner, fire department, is a female. She's been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I don't know what it means for anything, but it's just interesting first.
Well,
ever,
I think about even the sheriff's office. We have our first female chief of staff. Whitney Lucas is at the sheriff's office, probably the highest ranking female employee at the sheriff's office that we've ever had. So I think that it's a matter of, hey, wherever you can get the talent, you bring the talent in. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what is being reflected here locally.
And I also think, you know, we don't talk about this much, but, you know, we've talked about it a couple times in the past, that the interaction between PPD and Escambia Sheriff's Office and Gulf Breeze and Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, I mean, you know, all of these local law enforcement agencies get along extraordinarily well. But one of the sort of advantages that we have right now in Escambia County is, you know, we have not one but two former chiefs of Pensacola Police who are at the senior most levels of the Escambia Sheriff's Office. So, you know, you and Tommy don't just know, like, at a distance what it's like to be a police. You were the police chiefs in Pensacola and are very well familiar with that, but you interact well with them.
That doesn't happen everywhere.
Right.
We go to sheriff's conferences, and there's in some counties there are so many municipalities, it's almost impossible for them to all get along. But we get along very well. They handle the calls in the city of Pensacola for the most part, and then we'll handle the ones in the unincorporated areas. And then we help each other whenever needs arise.
Very good. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us informed about the law, about events in our community, and keep us safe, man. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.